Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with two good friends and colleagues, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. John Townsend, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. Glad you're with us here today on New Life.
I find myself constantly trying to take care of everything for my husband.
I'm in a marriage. I just got married 3 months ago. And it's a complete disaster.
I feel like my life is nothing but a rut.
Well, that's good news. Because a rut has two open ends. A grave has the ends already filled in.
Boundaries don't have to have timelines. You just simply say, when this behavior ceases, when you get into therapy, when you do the following things, then we will talk.
God's whole program is, when we've been trying it one way, then we try it His way.
Play therapy or drawing, art therapy, that works really well
Takes
with children.
Time.
That's what your 30 days of celibacy has brought to light, is that, okay, you can manage this, but boy, he can't.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here on this hot end toward the end of August day with Dr. John Townsend. Hey, John.
Hey, Steve, and hey, everybody.
John is the author of the wonderful Boundaries books, and the new book that is either out or it's coming out is Beyond Boundaries. It's about time.
There is life beyond them.
And that laughter came from Dr. Dave Stoop, who is the author of many books, including Forgiving the Unforgivable. Hey, Dave.
How are you, Steve?
Great. Now, John, what are you going to say to people in Beyond Boundaries?
Well, that there are actually two kinds of boundaries. There are boundaries that define us, like, you know, I like to go to bed at a certain time. I like, these are my values, and they should never change. But then there are protective boundaries. If you've had a tough relationship and you've had to protect yourself, when do you know it's time to trust again? So it's really a book about trust, vulnerability, risk.
Oh, okay. So it's about attachment
yes.
as well. See, and then there's a third boundary that's called walls.
Which Steve wrote about.
Steve wrote about, yes.
I did write about that. And isn't it interesting, though, how people put up walls and they think that they're boundaries, and they're really just prisons where they trap themselves. Like they put up, let's say you're molested at 5 years old, so you put up a wall between you and all men, and at 35 one day you realize, hey, I'm not vulnerable like a 5 year old. Not all men are like the person that hurt me at five. And now I've got this wall that I've built over the years. That's pretty tough to tear down. But what I thought all that time was that I had a really safe boundary between me and men.
Well, it was safe, but it was a wall, right?
Yeah, it was destructive. So we got to then if you tear down the wall and you don't have any boundaries after the wall, then you're totally vulnerable again. And so you really need the boundaries. And beyond boundaries to help you be sure that you start off with proper boundaries and that you maintain them or that you build them later in life.
Yeah, how do you build a house when there's like demolition going around the walls?
Mm-hmm.
You just can't do that.
Right.
That's what boundaries are for. They're not being mean. It's just a way to protect yourself and guard your heart so that you can rebuild your life.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, is that out now or is that coming, John?
It's coming in first week of October.
All right. Well, we'll all look forward to that.
And I got one coming the middle of September.
What is it?
Called People of the Bible Uncensored.
All right. That's pretty
that
cool.
Old Testament
great.
Personalities.
That's going to be really good. Who's one of the uncensored people you write about?
Well, Samson, the first sex addict in the Bible. Talk about Job and Moses and most of the predominant Old Testament personalities. And
most of them, not some of them.
No, yeah. About 18 of them.
Wow, 18. Great. All right, we're talking about resources that are available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number you can call, 1-800-639-5433 to order those. Or you can go to newlife.com. It's a new website. There's some wonderful video material there. One is this, we're talking about this Soul Surfer video where the real person that the movie's based on talks about her faith and all. The girl whose arm was bitten off by a shark. She's quite an individual. Yeah. But you can see that and many other things that are there on newlife.com. We'll take a break and we'll come back with your calls at 1-800-229-3000.
Mm-hmm. You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back. I'm glad that we are. Thanks for joining us today. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Brian. He's calling from Salisbury, Maryland. Hey, Brian.
Hey.
How are you?
John, Steve. How are you guys doing? Dave, I think, is there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is Brian. Brian.
As opposed
this is
to
your Salisbury fan club, or at least one of the many, because you've got a lot of fans out here on the Eastern Shore.
We love Salisbury.
How's
Maryland.
Your dad doing? His dad fell the first day of our Israel trip. How's your dad doing?
My dad is ready to go back to Israel.
Well, you know where we're going next year. We're going to follow the footprints of Paul, and we'll go to Athens and Thessalonica and Philippi, and we're going to take a little 3-day cruise as part of that. We think it's going to be an even more amazing trip.
So I would love if we could be repeat customers. I think my dad might be able to do another. He'd be 82, but he's, thank you for asking. He's doing wonderfully.
Brian, it was just so cool to get to know your family in Israel and how you guys relate to each other, and it was wonderful.
Your dad at 81 fell and hit his head, and he did better with a head injury than I did at 58. So, anyway.
With no
I was
headache.
Struggling to keep up with him. There's something to that.
You but know. You really honor him and care about him. It's really very evident, Brian.
Brian, thanks for all your support of New Life. How could we help you today? Why are we honored with this phone call?
Well, you know, I was trying to time a call if I could reach you on a day John was with you. And first of all, again, John, you really ministered to me and my father and so many other people on the trip, and it was just fun. So I want to thank you again for that.
Yeah, same here.
My question is a follow-up that I hope you will be able to maybe piece together, because it's been 3 or 4 months, and you made a comment to a caller on a prior show that was really, really helpful to me. And if it's out of one of your books, maybe you can steer me to the book. You said something like this. You said there are three types of people in the world. There are wise people who are somewhere along the path of healing. And because they are seeking to, you know, deal with things in their own lives, they do not tend towards hurting others. And when they do, they want to make it right. Foolish people who are not really doing real well on dealing with things in their lives or have not found healing, and without meaning to, they're hurting people. And then evil people who set out to hurt people. And that distinction, particularly, if I'm remembering your description correctly, between foolish and evil, was extremely helpful to me. Is this ringing a bell?
Yeah, it's actually a construct of Henry's.
Okay, well maybe, I don't think it was, maybe it was Henry.
I could have quoted Henry, or Henry said it, or whatever. But it really helps to make sense of how to address different people in different situations. And if your interest, Brian, was more in the last two, the foolish person is just kind of unaware, like a 3-year-old. You know, they don't know that they can't scream in a grocery store, and so you need to teach them and give them consequences, and then they kind of respond. I mean, it's what the Bible says: a foolish person will respond with consequences. an evil person is not about being unaware or immature. They're toxic, and you have to have strong boundaries with them and basically stay away from them because they have a malicious part. They have a dark part to them. That's why there are things like prisons. Was that the gist of your interest, Brian?
Yeah, that was generally what I was needing, and if Henry's got some more guidance, I'd love to find that. It was helpful to me because both personally, when I'm dealing with people have hurt me or annoyed me, or I'm trying to work through something, or in my family or in my work, I sometimes find that it's so easy to attribute, you know, motive to someone. Mm-hmm. If they're evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not being evil at all.
Mm-hmm.
And does that make sense that we need to distinguish so that we can actually help each other through these very things that are kind of tripping us up?
Yeah, we did a show recently where I ended the show with 1 Thessalonians 5:14, Brian, and I said that if you look at that passage, it says there's different ways to treat different people. Be patient with all, admonish the lazy, you know, tenderly pick up the broken and weak and that sort of thing. And so, yeah, we need to make those distinctions. And it's really easy, especially in our faith, to go, when someone disappoints me or lets me down or is not kind to me, to think that they're mean or evil. And I think that the best thing is to always start with grace. You know, just to give them benefit of the doubt. Maybe they misunderstood the
situation.
Be patient with all. And then you give them feedback and say, that was horrible, or it hurt me, or did I misunderstand? And even a fool will go, oh, well, okay, now I'll learn from that. But if you start with grace and then you move down into, I've got some darkness here, then you've done it, I think, God's way.
Mm-hmm. Well, it really is a great concept. And, Brian, I appreciate your call, and I'm glad that John and what he presented on the trip meant so much to you. Dave, if you had been there, I'm sure something you would have presented would have meant something to Brian.
Yeah.
And
Maybe next time.
Brian, anything else you want to add or subtract?
I will just tell you guys what I always tell you. We love you. We love New Life. We love what you're doing. And you have helped me and my family and a lot of people I know. And I just thank you for continuing to do what you're doing. And I always put a plug in for people to join Club New Life, if I could do that.
Thank you, Brian. You're a faithful New Life
family member.
You're the
best, Brian.
Okay. There's Lois, and then there's Brian.
Well, it's just kind of cool that Brian walks the talk.
He sure does.
You know, we know him, and we know that he believes in this material, and we see it, how it operates in his family face-to-face. It's kind of nice to see walking the talk.
Sure is. Let's talk to Dustin from Mesa, Arizona, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Hello.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
First time listener. I was listening to one of your previous shows and talking about people, you know, getting divorces and stuff. But I wanted.
How did you, Dustin? Just out of curiosity, how did you even happen upon the show?
Yeah, how'd you stumble into it?
How'd you stumble?
Oh, I was listening to XM. And it was probably a previous show of yours. Two people had called in about having problems in their marriage and stuff. And
cool.
You guys were giving them advice.
Well, and, welcome, welcome to the program, and thanks for calling us.
What do you want to share with us?
What's that?
What do you want to share with us?
I just wanted to touch and give glory to God. God, back in 2006, restored my marriage. We had adultery in both parts, my wife and myself, and actually it started with me, and it carried on to my wife, and God ended up saving me, and then he ended up saving my wife later on.
Mm. Wow, great.
What did you do in addition to salvation? Did you do anything that was healing or go to anything, read anything?
What happened was I got to a point where I was so broken that I didn't have nothing else to turn to but Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And every time I talk about this, it's hard because it really just... God did an amazing thing in my life, and I can't thank him enough. Mm. Without Jesus, we have nothing in life. And I know he is the only thing we can turn to when we're at our most broken point. And I think that's where we have to become, is get to our most broken point to when there is going to be restoration. Because not only did he restore my faith and healing in my life, but I started praying for my wife and her lover who was living with her.
Mm. Wow.
And then he ended up, speaking to me and asking my wife to go to church. I brought her to church while she was still with the guy. And she ended up giving her life to Christ, leaving that relationship, and then building the whole relationship with us all back over again.
Wonderful.
Sounds like the book of Hosea there.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, it's the most amazing thing I can ever say. I love giving out my testimony, and anytime I can tell anyone about Jesus Christ, because without that, and I also have a new baby who's 2 years old now. I have a 13-year-old and a 2-year-old now.
Mm.
So we named her Faith because our relationship is built on faith.
Well, Dustin, that is a great, great story.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, and I just thought I'd just let people know that are out there listening, just hang on to Jesus' coattail, and He will guide you. He will guide you in every way. But you got to be, you got to get to the point where you're so broken that you have nothing else but Him, and He will turn your life around.
That's where He's waiting, Dustin. Thank you so much.
Dustin, okay, God bless you there. I'm glad that you shared. I'm going to send you my book, Walking Into Walls. You tore a big one down there, buddy. I'll tell you that.
Send him the devotional Just Us as well.
All right. That's good.
Coming his way.
Something good for him.
Just Us by Dave and Jan Stoop. Let's go over here to Kathy. Philadelphia, WFIL. Hello, Kathy.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I enjoy listening to you every day.
Thank you.
I've called before about this. 2 years ago, my husband began to tell me he didn't love me anymore. Mm. His feelings weren't coming back, but he was going to stay because unless someone had a magic wand, because he had no money to leave.
Mm.
So we lived that way for 7 months, and then he moved in with or my friend and our coworker, and I had no idea he was cheating with her. I no longer work at the same place.
Mm.
And as soon as I left his scenes, they got together. But during the time that I worked there, her and I confided each other about our lives, about our husbands, about our problems. And what I found out later was that she was betraying my confidences by going back and telling him, discussing with him what we had discussed, and sort of winning him over to her side.
Mm.
My husband finally told me that might be true because she's loved him for 10 years.
Mm. Okay.
Go ahead.
You're his what?
I'm his third wife. He's left all of his three wives the exact same way. He cheats. He has someone waiting for him, set up for him, so that he doesn't have to be alone.
Did you think you would be the exception to that?
I sure did, and I was the second wife he cheated with too.
Mm.
Oh wow!
So I did this to the second wife. I've been very remorseful. I've prayed to God. I've asked for forgiveness. I've done everything that I can because I know how wrong I was. I had no right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He has three children that he hasn't spoken to in 17 years. He has grandchildren that he's never seen. We have one son and a daughter from my first marriage. Now he has nothing to do with any of us. Well, he does see my son. He does see his other son. His friend that he's living with for the past 2 years has been taking him to Paris and on vacation and supporting him. And he's left us literally devastated.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry about all that. How could we help you here? I mean, it sounds like this man, he's certainly not going to be nominated for Father of the Year.
Sounds like a leech.
So how could we help?
I've stopped asking him to come back, and I was doing that up until about 6 months ago, about a year, you know, we were separated about a year and a half, because he keeps saying, what if it doesn't work? And I can't see us getting, I'm with her for the foreseeable future, whatever means.
Why would you ask him to come back knowing that he has no character whatsoever? Why wouldn't you say, hey, have you thought about getting some help so that you could come back? I mean, if he moves back in, I think he's more right than you are. I think it isn't going to work if he moves back.
He did. He did move back a couple months after he left me, and he was cheating again.
Okay,
and
so
I asked him to leave.
So why were you asking him to come back again? Why weren't you demanding that he get some help and turn his life around?
He said, I need help. And he said, I was controlling. I was manipulative. I was nagging him. He couldn't take, he'd been telling me for 20 years
Kathy,
to stop my behaviors.
Kathy.
And I.
Kathy.
Yes.
And why didn't you say, you need to get some help and then maybe we could get things back together? Why did you just ask him to come back? Answer that question for me, okay?
Okay, because I believed it was my fault. I believed I was the one that needed help, not him. He's convinced me of that.
You're his third wife. He cheated on everybody, and you thought you were the problem?
Yes.
Hadn't seen his children in 17 years, and you think you're the problem?
Yes.
I'm very sad about that.
Kathy, it's easy for you to take exaggerated amounts of responsibility,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to help you with that.
Yeah. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number to call if you need some help. We need help. We need your support. 1-800-639-5433. That's the numerical value of New Life. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. We'll take a break and we'll come back for more phone calls here at 1-800-229-3000. Pray for the folks that are on the phone. Can never be prayed for too much, and it's a great opportunity.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery, and it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're talking with Kathy. And, boy, Kathy got involved with a man. She's the third wife. He's living with his fourth victim and hasn't seen the kids in 17 years. Kathy, how could we help you here?
The last one of the callers you had on today, you suggested that she go to counseling and just listen to what her husband had to say, and you know, just to take it in what he said her faults were or whatever that he was feeling. Do you suggest that that would be a good avenue for me as well to see if he would go one more time?
No,
not at all.
This is a different kind of situation, Kathy. You've got somebody who is. A habitual, what would you call him, Jonna?
There are a lot of manipulative tendencies.
Yeah. And
a what?
Manipulative, he's a manipulator. And all he would do in that session would be to manipulate you with making you feel more guilty.
Yeah.
You have more than enough guilt. And I think it comes from how your relationship started, and because of that, you think you're very vulnerable in terms of taking on all the badness. And you need to get with some good solid Christian women. You need to get a counselor who's going to help you look at why you are dependent on a guy who abuses you and uses you. That's where I would suggest you go. This is not a case where you have to figure out what you did wrong. You got to figure out, how did I get snookered by such a manipulative guy?
Well, you know, Dave and Steve and I always sort of modify each other, and I would go with Dave, but I'd probably make it a both and, actually. So once you're strong enough and you know where your line ends and his begins, because that's why I said you had an exaggerated sense of over-responsibility. If somebody says global warming is all your fault, you know, your brain kind of goes, yeah, I've got to like fix that, right? And so when people struggle with that, Dave's comment was, gosh, you don't need any more responsibility and guilt, which I agree with. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing wrong with learning. Technically, the term is called definition. You know, my definition is, here's my voice, here's my opinion, here's what's my fault, here's what's not my fault. Proverbs 4:23 talks about guarding our heart. That's definition. Once you're more defined and clear of, no, global warming isn't 100% my fault, then you have the session with him and say, okay, I'm ready to hear your protest against me. Because then you can take it in a healthy way rather than a, I made you marry all these women, I forced you into her arms kind of way, which people who exaggerate responsibility do. We don't want that for you.
That's what he said. It was my fault. I made him do this.
Yeah. Henry and I wrote a book called It's Not My Fault. We're going to send that to you. But it's about that sense of responsibility that...
Overly.
That really... It basically makes you own the pain of someone else who actually needs to feel pain. You know, when a three-year-old kid says, you're so mean, you're the worst mom in the world, you made me miserable because you didn't give me an Oreo, a parent's supposed to go, well, I'm sorry you're so mad at me, but I kind of, that's what the right thing to do, no Oreo. But a parent with an exaggerated sense of responsibility might think, gosh, you know, I'm really bad. No more broccoli, all Oreos. And then we carry that into adulthood. So we've got to help you with that.
Kathy?
Can I ask you one more question? Yes,
okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead and ask quickly.
For my son's high school graduation, I invited his whole family to his party because I'm close with them. I did not invite my husband simply because I did not want him there. And he threatened the whole family and said if they go, he will cut off all contact with them. And so nobody came to my son's graduation party. And I'm wondering how I should handle that with his family. They still call me. They're very sorry they couldn't do it, but they said he sent threatening emails to every one of them.
Go ahead.
Are you asking what can you do now? Is that what you're...
Should I still... be friendly. I mean, I really love
sure.
family.
Just write it off that they, like you, have sadly been exposed to a very sick person, and everybody's kind of scrambling to do what they can do. I wouldn't hold it against them.
No, just be kind to them.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But Kathy?
But that gives you a picture of what he does, Kathy, and what he's done to you. And you know that it's not their fault.
No.
That what they did. They didn't act in a bad way.
Yeah, I'm gonna sound like a broken record, but you know, if you had the close female friends that women need, they wouldn't have let you marry this guy. They wouldn't let you marry him.
Kathy, let me embed something in your brain, because I would be concerned about the next time you have a relationship, or not even that, but maybe a conflict with someone at work or one of your kids because of that exaggerated sense of responsibility. Let me give you something to implant. The next time someone tells you that you're a bad person or that it's all your fault, immediately let that trigger, maybe that's not true, as opposed to, gosh, what can I do to please him and fix it? Maybe that's not true. I think I'll try to look at what's true and go after that little check in your brain and do some work on that, but don't immediately go over into it's all my fault. That little check helps us.
And I do that all the time.
Right, so I just put
my
something.
Fault.
I just embedded something in your brain. It'll never leave you. You'll
Thank
be
you.
Fine.
All right,
Thank
Kathy.
So
Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to send you walking into walls. You know, one of those walls is blind ignorance. And the way we stay blind is we don't have anybody that's allowed to tell us the truth. And if we've got those close friends that'll tell us, hey, you've got a problem here. You need to deal with this. It'll keep us out of a lot of trouble. So I'll send that to her. Maybe you're one of those people Isaiah was talking about. That's blind even though you have eyes, deaf even though you have ears. If you are, maybe this could help you. It's walking into walls. Call us at 1-800-GOT-WALLS. New Life or go to newlife.com. We'll be back.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop. He's my co-editor. We both edited the Life Recovery Bible, and boy, we're working on this book, the big book for the Life Recovery Bible, and we'd love to get your story. You could send it to S-A-R-T-E-R-B-U-R-N, S. Arterburn.
And it's not just a story from recovery from alcohol. It's be recovery from addictions, from sex addiction, from eating, all kinds of things, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so if you've got a story of restoration or rehabilitation or recovery, you can just send it to me at sarterburn@newlife.com. sarterburn@newlife.com. Let's talk to Chris from Louisville, Kentucky, calling after listening to WFIA. Hello, Chris.
Hello, glad to talk. Or glad to finally get to talk to y'all.
Well, hey, thank Chris. You. Mm-hmm. How you doing?
Well, I've been better. Oh. But let me first tell you, I'll give you the question first. How do I stay sane during all this, and what can I do to help my son the most? And okay. I'll give you a little background on it.
All right.
He'll be a senior in high school. Up until the beginning of his junior year, he was a pretty well of a model student, AB student. And he got expelled 2 weeks before the end of the year, his junior year, for theft, and started using drugs and selling drugs. And
Chris, I can just hear in your voice, as a father who had a son that was doing so well, it must be devastating for you to see the what he's.
Yeah, I'm a single father. I've raised my two teenage boys for the last 6 years. Mm. And I probably gave them all the tools for success and surround them with the right people. And yeah. And I'm trying to keep from being disappointed in myself, you know, at the same time.
Unfortunately, the peer group's more powerful than we think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tried to blame it all on the peer groups, but it's kind of
that's where the influence.
I seriously think that it has a lot to do with it.
But he made the choice, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the big problem now is I think he's got a lot of the main things licked. Had a lot of a lot of help for him, but he's in total defiance. And like I was telling the lady, it's just a matter of an hour ago. His mom came and picked him up. I finally, he, he's not quite 18 yet, but I gave him the decision to go ahead. He plays us back and forth, and whoever lets him do the most, give him the most freedom at whatever time, is, I said, this is not a game. If you want to go live with your mom, I mean, this is, you know, the last time, you know. Of course, I'll take you back if he, you know, calls me crying about it, but I didn't tell him that.
Well, you take it back, you know, once.
And this just happened like an hour ago, so.
Wow.
Okay, so what's your question?
Total defiance. He won't listen to anything. I don't think he's done anything worse than just, you know, smoking a little bit of marijuana here lately, but you know, he didn't want to follow the rules, so he's trying to find a place to go where there's better rules.
Okay.
My question is, how do I deal with it and stay sane, and what can I do to help him now that I really don't have much
control? Let's talk about sane, Chris. Are you afraid that his defiance is going to make you crazy?
Well, I've just wore myself out trying to find the help I can for him. You know, running into a lot of brick walls, sounds like Steve's book, but and trying to get the right kind of help. You know, a lot of dead ends. He's got a good Christian counselor. You know, pretty much tells him the same things I do, and it's just like in one ear and out the other.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm just drained from dealing with it.
Sure.
And, you know, at times, I'm fairly spiritual, and I hear this soft voice saying, don't worry about it. You know, I've got it under control. But then, you know, my worldly self tries to come back in and say, okay, what can I do now?
Hold it, Chris. Let's make sure that what you're doing, you need to be doing. Because if you got a kid that age, you got to set him up with a counselor. You got to see if there's a place out, you know, maybe needs to go to somewhere in the wilderness or whatever. But you set up these systems, and, you know, kids have been crazy for many years, so there's lots of systems. And then you pray and you encourage and all that. But it sounds like you're doing more than that, because it just sounds like you're drained. So what are these behaviors you're doing that are taking all your energy away?
Well, you also got to remember, this just happened an hour ago, and I, you know, it kind of.
Okay, you're sort of in an urgent state then.
I don't know. I seem like I'll try. You know, I talked to, you know, Sunday. I talked to his youth minister, and you know, we agree on some things, and you know, and he wants me to try to get him to come in there, and he tells he doesn't want to go there anymore, and just can't get him to cooperate with
Chris. And, Chris, you need a plan.
Yeah.
See, a lot of times when we as parents, we've all had problems with kids, the first thing we do is everything. And there's
I did everything. Yeah.
And we're doing everything all the time, and trying to work, and trying to keep relationships and all this, and because we care for our kids. But you need a plan that says, here's the three or four things I'm going to set up. This church thing, and this counseling thing, and this clinical thing, and this group, and this whatever. And then I tell my kid, this is the plan. The kid says, I don't like you, I'm not going to do this. Then you say, I have another plan. Then if you won't abide by the house rules, and here's the plan, is that you have to go away for a while. And then you execute the plan. But my point is that a kid like that who's going through this phase, he needs a structured father who says, I'm going to still have a life. I'm going to still have friends. I'm going to still work. I'm going to go work out. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to movies. But here's my plan for you, and then you work the plan. Look at it like anything else.
He sees that. He sees that I've done that. He doesn't know till just recently the amount of stress that I've had been going through. But you know, I don't know where this came from. I came up with the idea last time he went to spend 2 days with his mom. And I want you to write down on a piece of paper what you think you can do, what kind of changes you can make just be able to get along better living together. And I'm going to do the same thing, because I'm not perfect either.
Chris, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just not saying that at all.
Okay. Well, we never got a chance to discuss what we wrote down. But
Chris.
Yes.
A plan means I do the following things, and then I stop.
Okay.
And as a father, you're overextending yourself because you're panicked and scared. We all get that way. And that's why you need friends around you to support you and be on your team and tell you that you're not crazy. But a plan means, son, here's what's going to happen, and make the right choices. But I'm not going to chase you down and try to find 20 more answers for you. I have a plan, but I also have other plans for my life. A plan means I stop here.
Right. Well, that's what happened today.
Okay.
It stopped.
Okay. But now what are you going to do when he's frustrated with his mom and wants to come home? come back to you.
No, no, because I've never.
Okay,
never,
that's where John's suggestion comes into play, Chris. You've got to have a plan that you will stick to, and you say, okay, if you want to come back and live here, these are the things you've got to do. Four things you've got to do. And right. They're basic things like you got to go to church, you got to go to your counselor, you got to stay in school, and you know, you got to treat me with respect. If you can't do that, then you can't come home. You can't come back here.
That's pretty much what it came to. I mean, I had all that on.
Okay.
He said I'm not going to live by those rules.
Okay, but see, when he wants to come back because it's not working at mom's house, you got to be able to say those are the rules, and if not, you got to have an alternative plan, as John is saying. Well, then there's this place up in Utah that takes kids in the last year of school and help them get through the school, and you live out in the wilderness, and we'll do that instead. And you research that.
I've talked into stuff like that too, but I'm not a rich guy, so.
Well, but there's one up in Wyoming that's Christian, and it's based on what you can pay. So there's alternatives. Just kind of look at it. You gotta be willing to do it, and whatever it takes to do it, because that's what's necessary. Is he reacting to the divorce? Is that what the issue is?
That's very possible, even though it was 6 years ago.
Yeah,
it gets a lot more mm-hmm. intense than that. He's told me that he has problem with respect for females and. You know, his mom didn't treat him real well after the divorce, and she had a favorite and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. that's really surprised me that he's taken off with her. But it's just that I think she just pretty much lets him have his way, is why he wants to go there now.
Well, you just got to be ready for when he wants to come back. And you got to have the other alternative that says you do this or you don't come back and you go instead to, and you got to do it before he's 18, because once he's 18, you really don't have any power at all.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Believe mm-hmm. it or not, I've talked to several people. I got exactly 3 months as of today.
Okay. Well, you've got to get some support, too. You got to get mm-hmm. some other parents that have been through this and others that will love you and just encourage you to stick with your plan. You need that kind of support because that's the only way you'll make it. Because it's...
We're down to the last of it now anyway. If he calls me up saying, I'd really like to come back, Dad, and I tell him what...
Here's the terms.
Four or five terms are that he'd come back and he says no, then I just wash my hands of it.
You stay a bridge. I'm going to send you a copy of Boundaries with Teens. It addresses all those issues, Chris. But God's stance has always been, choose this day whom you're going to serve. Mm-hmm. He loves us. He reaches out. He's a bridge. He's ready for the grace. But we've got to reach back out.
I'm still hearing this silent voice, this soft voice telling me, don't worry about it.
He started late enough that it's not going to be the big thing, and you've laid a good foundation, so you got to trust that now because he's old enough to make his own choices.
Yeah. That's right.
Yep.
Okay, we'll send you John's book, Boundaries with Teens. Hope that'll be a blessing to you. We'll take this break and come back for the final segment. We've got another program after this, so hang on if you're hanging on.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. John Townsend. Let's talk with Judy from Chicago, Illinois, W-Y-L-L. Hi, Judy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. And what's going on in your life?
Well, I have been in a lot of your seminars, Dr. Townsend, Dr. Cloud, etc. And
yes.
I just had a curious question about sexual addiction and where does it go after it's not been dealt with, but you're too old to do the running around you used to do.
So this is so you're just driving down the road and this question just comes out of the clear blue.
Are you too old now, Judy? Is that the question?
Am I what?
Are you too old now?
Judy, you're not talking about Judy. You're talking about somebody in Judy's life.
Yeah.
Judy.
Okay.
My ex-husband, and he's been my ex for a good number of years, and he is remarried. We live in the same town.
Do they just get too old to get in trouble?
Cross over and do stuff for parties and events and stuff like that. We have a peaceable relationship.
Let me say it this way, Judy.
Yes.
There really is a body and a machine there. It does get old, and the plumbing doesn't work like it should, and yes, that can happen.
And testosterone levels go down.
Right. However, Judy, the thing that created the sex addiction in the first place, unless there's some redemptive treatment, never gets old. My point is, Jesus said in Matthew 7 that a good tree makes good fruit and a bad tree makes bad fruit.
Right.
Okay? The fruit is the sex addiction, but the tree is entitlement, loneliness, powerlessness, judgment, a bunch of things, and that never gets weaker over time.
Well, look at
Here's
Hugh Hefner.
The I mean,
Hugh,
I want to ask this
well,
question.
Let me just make one point. Hugh Hefner, he's at, what is he, 105 or something like that?
No, he's in his late 70s.
Okay, well, he's still in the addiction phase there.
Yeah. So,
they just find a different way to act out is basically what they do, and it's not as obvious, perhaps.
Yeah.
But what's your purpose in asking the question?
Okay, well, it's always been a burning question, but when it happened, we got divorced, I said, okay, I don't know what I've done wrong, but I know what he's doing wrong. So I went into therapy. I've been in therapy, was, for a good number, 5-6 years, and then on and on with programs and groups and stuff like that. But recently, our grandsons now, who are in their early 20s, mid-20s, are starting to bring girls around. And the other day when we were at my grandson, he plays for the minor leagues. We were at his ball game here in Geneva, Illinois, and our baseball player grandson's girlfriend was in from Arkansas, and she's very adorable and blonde hair and, you know, all the things that would, in his earlier years, would have made him go crazy. So I've noticed now he gets really crabby and grumpy and walks away, and I'm thinking to myself, his spirit is there, but he's not able to.
It's like a dry drunk.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, okay, where does this thing go? And I'm wondering if it goes into making a grumpy old man or something.
Well, it goes right to the heart is where it goes when it's not dealt with. And you can see there's a side effect.
It goes into depression, relational problems, health problems, isolation, those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now he's remarried. So, you know, he's acting like husband of the year.
Now, Judy, here's what I want for you. I want for you to not deal with this and worry about it and obsess over it so that Judy has her life separate and apart from this man who betrayed you and is now married to somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty much there. You know, I don't. It just. fascinated me that he got along without any problems.
Well,
I have his girlfriends where you used to call me. What's the matter with him? I'm a nice person. I said, listen, he's got a nice family. What can I tell you? You know,
Hey, Judy.
So I've
think the analogy of the dry drunk might help you with that. You know, there are alcoholics.
Well, he's also, I think, an alcoholic.
Okay, but there are alcoholics. There are alcoholics who just cold turkey stop drinking, and they call them a dry drunk because all of the issues are still there, and now they don't medicate it with the and they become grumpy, irritable, angry, you know, frustrated, and all the things that you're now seeing in him. So in a way, he's a dry drunk with his sex addiction. And that is, as John was saying, that's having consequences in the way that he behaves. So put it to rest, move on, and enjoy your grandkids.
Oh, yeah, I am doing
it. Okay.
Well, thank you. I wondered if it just dissipated.
No.
Well, you know,
with his life.
I'm glad you called. Let me send you. Yeah, let me send you Walking into Walls, and I think you'll like it. Hey, you know, guys, I mean, there's an example of why you do need to get some help for this thing because, you know, it affects you. It eats at you. You really do need to heal. And think of the life this guy's missing that God would really
Sometimes
have
you have to tell people, if you don't change, you're going to end up sick and alone for the rest of your life.
What? Crabby.
Don't they call them dirty old men?
Yeah. And crabby.
Because their mind is filthy.
Yeah.
They just don't act anymore.
But they don't probably mind the dirty part. But to say sick and alone, sometimes people need alarm.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
God closes these windows here, dude.
That makes them even more alone.
John, you really know how to put them down. Sick and alone. That really
a little wake-up call there,
yeah.
Huh?
Hey, buddy, you look, I know you think.
Every man's battle now before you become a dirty old man, sick and alone.
Yeah. There's a great book title. Sick and Alone.
Oh, nobody would buy it, but it's a good title.
No. Talk about felt need. Okay, so here is the end of our program. Wow. And we are so glad that you joined us today. If you can help us, we sure would appreciate it. We need your support. Also, you know, maybe you're wanting to start a group in your church. We've got so many great materials. We call them Plug and Play. Hmm. We've got a DVD of that introduces the topic for that week, and then you discuss it, books with workbooks in them. You know, Walking in the Walls has a workbook in it. Somebody emailed me and said they were reading it and thought, well, what do I do now? And then there it was. There was the workbook. So please call us. Ask for Ryan. He handles our small group work here at New Life. It could be a great blessing to you and someone, maybe even to all those in your church. It's just 1-800-NEW-LIFE or 1-800-639-5433. Club New Life has tremendous benefits also. We send you a Life Recovery Bible when you join, and we send you the resource, the CD for Club New Lifers. Every month I make it just for you. We put phone calls we hope you didn't miss, and we do other things for you there with testimonies and all. Every other month we'll send you a resource for you, just our way of saying thank you. Please join us. Become part of the giving family of New Life by joining Club New Life. It's just $30 a month, but it sure does make a big difference. We just need four of you to join today to head toward our goal of adding 1,000 people in this year. We're doing great. So come on and come alongside of us and be part of the New Life Giving family. My thanks to Dr. Dave Stoop. He is the author of that great devotional for couples, Just Us. Dr. John Townsend got a new book. It's going to come out pretty soon, Beyond Boundaries. And we love him. We love you guys. You're great. Appreciate you being on radio. And to all of you that listen, thank you for listening. Thanks for supporting us. And call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE
or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.